Where is the beef?
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. It's really hard to keep track of who wants foreign beef and who doesn't. Taiwan said today it will once again allow U.S. meat into the country. The decision comes a few days after Japan said it was reinstating its ban on American red meat. Both countries blocked imports because of a couple of cases of mad cow disease in the U.S. Meanwhile, Canada reported a new incident of the disease this week. Last summer, the U.S. started allowing Canadian beef back into this country. If you listen to our China series, you are well aware of that country's stunning growth. Today, China said its economy ballooned 10% last year. That makes it at least the fourth largest in the world. And it's not just growing in China. A Chinese real estate developer plans to build a business hub at the former World Trade Center site in New York. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
The new China Center will occupy the top five floors of the rebuilt Seven World Trade Center tower. Developer Beijing Vantone Real Estate hopes to attract Chinese companies and U.S. businesses investing in China. Catherine Wild heads the Partnership for New York City. The group helped arrange the deal. She says the China Center will create 800 jobs and help New York companies access an increasingly important market.
Our Wall Street community, the accounting community, insurance, their most important client is China. So it's an economic development opportunity, but it's also a great business and trade opportunity for the companies that are based in New York.
The deal may be a relief for World Trade Center developer Larry Silverstein. Just 2 months from opening, the $700 million building has only attracted two other tenants. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
I was doodling earlier trying to come up with a new corporate name. Raditas. Adibach. Okay, those sound stupid. But shareholders at Reebok do vote today on a merger with Adidas. The thing is, they actually aren't going to unite as one. Elisa Roth explains.
The two brands will stay separate after the merger. The plan is to market them separately, too. Some critics say that's a bad idea, that the two product lines are too similar and will end up competing against each other. But Harvard Business School professor Stephen Gracer thinks the two lines could end up complementing each other. They have different geographic strengths and specialize in different sports. The bigger question, he says, is whether the combined Adidas-Reebok company will be strong enough to compete against number one, Nike.
To me, the combined company has to be a stronger competitor vis-a-vis Nike than either one of Reebok or Adidas would be or would have been alone.
Still, he says, he expects the new company to face a tough fight. Reebok's shareholders are widely expected to approve the deal. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
If you and 20 of your closest friends want to get a suite at the Super Bowl, better bring a suitcase full of money. $175,000 to be exact. That's about $9,000 a ticket for a trip to Detroit in February. Investors liked a handful of good earnings reports. The Dow closed up 23 points to 10,712. The S&P 500 index climbed 3 to 1266. The NASDAQ was up 16 points to 2265. You're listening to Marketplace. Today, the World Economic Forum gets underway in Davos, Switzerland. On the other side of the world, anti-globalization activists hold their own gathering. From Caracas, Venezuela, Brian Ellsworth reports.
Over 50,000 activists will be welcomed by Venezuelan president and globalization critic Hugo Chavez. The leftist government will display its social development advances, but visitors will also notice some basic infrastructure problems. The principal road connecting Caracas to the airport has been closed because a bridge is collapsing, turning the 45-minute trip into a three-hour ordeal. Enzo Betancourt is the president of Venezuela's College of Engineers. He says the country's roads are in disrepair because the government has spent too much on social programs and not enough on infrastructure. Chavez has promised that an alternate route around the bridge will be ready in late February. In Caracas, I'm Brian Ellsworth for Marketplace.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by The Economist, the weekly publication of international news with commentary and analysis on world politics, business and finance, technology and the arts, on newsstands and at economist.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship, on the web at kauffman.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. By this summer, frequent flyers may be able to slip through airport security checkpoints faster. A new registered traveler program is being tested at a few airports. But commentator Rudy Maxa says the program has hit a few snags. One of those is the definition of background checks.
Here's the deal. For an annual fee of between $80 and $100, airline passengers tired of taking off their shoes, removing laptops from carrying cases, and being subjected to random searches can become registered travelers. That's the name of a Transportation Security Administration program developed with the Homeland Security folks and several private companies that's aimed at speeding frequent flyers through security lines. Flyers who want to participate pay their money, submit to a government background check, and provide 10 fingerprints. It's that background check that's causing some controversy. Checking arrest records and terrorist lists is one thing. But now the TSA says it may also check credit reports, property records, even shopping histories, to see if someone is, well, a regular kind of guy. The theory is that if you're a terrorist, you won't show up in those kind of searches. But it's not the government who will be doing all that snooping. It's a half dozen or so private firms that will issue flyers, that registered traveler's smart card. And given the bad record lately of companies to keep a tight rein on the most intimate information of citizens, I worry about this. Last year, Congress barred the TSA from using commercial data about airline passengers after the agency did just that, storing details on 100 million records of travelers after saying such storage would never happen. Then there's the other side of the coin. Files such as credit reports are famously unreliable. They're filled with bad information and misspelled names. Someone could mistakenly be labeled a terrorist and spend the next year of their life trying to convince Uncle Sam and the airlines otherwise. In the last several years, people have turned up on terrorism lists who don't belong there, and they've been frustrated in their attempts to get their names expunged. The TSA says, no worries, this program is entirely voluntary, so only folks willing to give up some of their privacy will have their personal financial records examined. But if my fingerprints match, and I can show a valid birth certificate or passport, and my name isn't on any terrible person's list, isn't that sufficient? One more thing. Several companies are vying to issue these smart cards. During testing at several airports last year, the cards that worked at one airport couldn't be used at another. That can't happen when this program goes nationwide this summer. Cards must have technology that allows them to be used at any airport in those separate registered traveler lanes. A former administrator from TSA, now in private consulting business in D.C., has formed the Voluntary Credentialing Industry Coalition to achieve just that. As always, Washington is here to help.
Rudy Maxa is Marketplace's travel expert in residence. Your comments are always welcome. You can email us at letters@marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great day.
American Public Media. Some realtors say 2006
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college accountant? How does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox, and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.